OKC. 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 We still out here in Champion City, just letting y'all know.
Bruce, you've heard of Multicraft underscore daddy. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices and the best dad videos on Instagram. Dave just did a video on the history of screen printing and the patron saints of screen printing, and it was dad-worthy. So mention the Printavo podcast. You'll receive an extra 10% off your first order, and Dave gives away a free case of PMI tape for every episode. You just have to DM him, first-time customers only, Multicraft underscore daddy.
Graphics Pro Expo, it is coming in August. It's right around the corner. They're launching a huge show in Long Beach. Graphics Pro Expo in Long Beach is August 21st to 23rd. You get 50% off your tickets, by the way, if you use the code HUSTLERS, all caps, HUSTLERS. That gets you 50% off your registration fee. You go to graphics-pro-expo.com and you'll see the link down in the description. You can click it. They've got an incredible show again. They've got the latest in screen printing. This is a big one. They've got DTF, embroidery, a bunch more, plus a really cool Graphics Pro University. So they've got a lot of experts there. They're doing a ton of training. We'll be there. They hold a bunch of the Inktavo team members will be there. So check it out, graphics-pro-expo.com. GraphX Source. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, GraphX Source offers industry-leading options for your shop. Campus Ink's rocking with 3-4 or so artists to be able to help with production art, creative art, order management, digitizing, and some customer service. But really, that production art is huge for Campus Ink. They've been around for over 40 years, so they've really been helping so many shops, and they've plug and play with Printavo, which is really, really cool. Steven's been to their facility and I've seen photos of just like so many Printavo monitors open and people uploading art, changing statuses. So that's pretty cool. Printavo24. That's the code. Printavo pod 24, 50% off your first vector set or digitized order.
Bruce, Easy Way is launching a new monthly giveaway. So if you're spending hours cleaning dirty screens, that is a thing of the past. They have a new monthly giveaway program to give back to their amazing customers. Each month, they're going to be giving away a $250 prize. Go to easyway.com/giveaway. Make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with Easyway systems, chemicals, and equipment. And head to easyway.com/giveaway. It is the easiest way.
Welcoming our new partner, Stahls. If you are ready to take custom apparel to the next level, Stahls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stahls makes the hustle easier. We're here so you can simply heat press and profit. Stahls has an incredible amount of offerings. If you go to their website, stahls.com, you could just browse through, you can get samples, try it. Also, you could see them at a ton of trade shows as well, which is really cool. Use the code word HUSTLER20, HUSTLER20. That gets you 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Give it a try. Not only that, but as you know, they've got an incredible amount of equipment in addition to the transfers, but they really support your business. The team there is incredible, super nice, and they have great support. So check it out, stahls.com. Use that code, HUSTLER20. Printprofit.com. We've had Nick G from Print Profit on the podcast a couple times. This thing is powerful. If you're looking to understand profitability in real time as the month goes on and not just wait till the books are closed at the end of the month, this tool can really, really be helpful. They've got some incredible analytics around profitability for your business. It plugs into Printavo. It's got costs that you've entered in. It's got your sales you've entered in. And it's really like your profitability co-pilot. You can run your shop with confidence, knowing exactly where to focus to close better deals, increase margins, and grow profitability every day. But really cool though, go to printprofit.com and you can get a free profit audit done on your shop. So check that out. Worst case, I mean, that's an incredible way to see where you are at. All right, let's jump on in.
Justin, we asked you yesterday if you'd be wearing a shirt on the podcast. We took our bets.
You are the tornado of imagination, humor, and hustle, equal parts of artist, entrepreneur, and chaos conductor. You have a unique ability to bounce back between absurd, adult swim style cartoon, and real world strategies. One second, you're melting fruit luchadors and neon slime, and the next, you're breaking down invoice reports and tracking B2B sales pipelines. Welcome to the podcast, Justin Lawrence.
Hey, Q Fog Machine. ChatGPT said some might call him the Holy Trinity of Oklahoma hustle. Screen print warlord, dispensary owner, disc golf shop boss, Oklahoma's unofficial minister of hustle.
The minister.
Making my mom proud.
Dude, I love the minister. It's like your WWF, WWE, you know, nickname, your show name.
What is it like to work with Justin Lawrence?
Tell me.
Steven was like, hey, here's an interesting prompt to ask ChatGPT. Based on the things that I ask it, what is it like to work for me? Steven, what did you say? Give me a highlight. I didn't read it yet.
I said, if someone were on the other side of me, what is it like to be on the other side of me? If someone were on the other side of you, working with you, building with you, they'd probably describe you as being strapped into a high-speed roller coaster run by someone who somehow also designed the track mid-ride.
Whoa.
You move fast, think faster, and expect those around you to keep pace. For teammates, that's energizing, but only if they're wired for it. If not, they'll feel like they're holding on to the bumper of a moving car. You value decisive moves over endless brainstorming. You're rarely satisfied with average, and you don't want people around you to be either. You love clever details. You expect high standards. You're good at living in ambiguity and making bets under pressure. People working with you need to embrace that ride or risk getting whiplash.
I like all that so much.
I do. And is it a little creepy to read that?
I sent it to my team yesterday.
What they said.
And I was like, yeah, they said it tracks.
On brand.
So, sounds right.
So then I asked it, what do I need to work on? Slow down just enough to bring people along with you who aren't wired like you. Not everyone processes as quickly. Not every problem can be brute forced and hustled instinct. And I asked it like where my blind spots are. Justin, when we were in Atlanta, Hotlanta, which you literally flew to the same day as the Thunder parade.
Yep.
You asked ChatGPT to write a bio about you, and we sat there and just laughed about it.
It was, it's wicked. And I like that you took it, you know, it was kind of a novelty that it was like, tell me about me. And certainly probably the more you use ChatGPT, the more it gets to know you. But I want to take that like what you just did. That's super cool. Tell me how I am to work with and work for and tell me those blind spots. It's wickedly, I don't know what it's indexing or where it's getting information from, but it knows more than it should. Let's say that.
Yeah, because I'm just asking like recipes and, you know, high level stuff. It's like, where the hell is it getting the rest of this like deeply personal, you know?
Dude, it searches like everything about you on the web too. Like it puts together some crazy connections. It's a little creepy.
I wonder if you, what was cool is it also had like, tell me a roast, give me like a brutal roast about me, read that. So I will be using this for my friends in the future too. Like if you have a roast opportunity for someone, like help me write my roast or help me tell me all of the things, but it's concerning. I was listening. I think it was Matt Marcotte or someone on one of y'all's podcasts earlier, but they were talking about like, make sure you're like SEO is not dead, but like you have to be feeding these agents and AI, however, so stuff about your business. You know, one of them was like, you Google or you put in ChatGPT, like, who are the best screen printers in the US? And it's
Oklahoma Shirt Company.
Nope, not on there. But no. There's like the top five, like two or three of them you would expect. They're our friends. And then the other, there's like two of them that are on there. You're like, I've never heard of these people in my life. And they're either playing the game early adopters with ChatGPT and loading themselves, but there is we got to be feeding these robots somehow.
Holy crap. You know, that's actually interesting because Apple did talk about that as their the amount of Google searches on iPhones decreased. It was small. It was only by 2%, but it's never decreased in history, in the history of the iPhone until then. And the thought is that, yeah, people are just going straight to ChatGPT. And I don't know about you guys, but like more than half of my searches for sure go straight to ChatGPT.
Justin, we wanted to bring you on. Listeners love hearing from you. Thank you for that grand entrance. You are Oklahoma's printing company, Oklahoma Shirt Company, and you printed 20,000 shirts per home playoff game for the world champions of basketball, the Oklahoma Thunder. And we were all watching on the sidelines as you did this for 13 games. I don't know what 13
because each game, obviously, everyone's like, hope Thunder win. Justin's got to get back to work then.
260,000 plus shirts. And we said, after this is over, when you win it all, we're going to have to get you on to just talk about the chaos or calmness or how you did it all. Any first thoughts? Any reflections?
Yeah, we're still like on a come down. It's wild. Like, I've never experienced anything like this. The past 2 months in Oklahoma for the NBA, you know, playoffs was just crazy. Our whole city's worn out. Everybody is, it feels like you've been on this bender for however long. And it's just not starting to normalize. Grateful. Oh, hell yeah. Sir, please.
That's
Thunder.
Just one.
That just describe it. I'm not sure.
So that game was game seven against the Denver Nuggets, at home. And we did not, I mean, you just, all the fun might end. Game seven, I know what it means for game seven now. It is the two most exciting words in sports, but it's also horrifying because all the fun can end. And when we figured it out, that was a very celebratory moment towards the end of the fourth quarter when we had kind of locked it up.
There's another picture of you with your shirt off in the middle of the stadium. We're going to have to bring that one as well. And you asked permission from security on that one?
No.
No.
They couldn't get to me, though, if they wanted to. I was in the middle of the sea, you know?
What's it like? Gosh, there's so many angles of this, because you only print if you win and you're a crazy fan. How nerve-wracking, and your team is about to print like overnight or whatever. Like, how is you as the owner, the fan, the business person? What is that like for you going through that? Walk us through some of those days.
My wife said it best. She was, you know, in the middle of one of the games, she looked at me and she's like, I don't like who you are right now. Do you like this? Are you having a good time? Because you seem miserable and you're really hard to be around. And I said, I get it. I'm sorry. And what I found in that moment was there are two wolves that live inside of me. There's this Thunder fan and there's this business goblin. And it turns out that the business goblin is a little more predatory than the Thunder fan inside of me, but they play well with each other. But you gotta put yourself in check too, because each of those, you know, I'll just get it. It is a, it's an incredible privilege, that we have worked really hard to earn. The Thunder is the coolest organization that I've ever worked with. I can't give them enough accolades. They really embody the idea of, like, they are a mega huge organization that, pause on that. In the past, I have found as a small business, it's really hard. When we first started, you see these champions in your city, like the biggest businesses or Fortune 500 companies. And you're like, I want to print for them. I want to work for them. And you find out really quickly that, like, small business, small business relationship and like corporate big business relationship is really, really challenging. Because there's dozens of players on the corporate side and there's one or two players on the small business side. And you have to talk to all of the people and relationships and communication. And you get that really wrong for a long time as a small business until you eventually get it right. And so working with them is not hard because of they make it hard, but it's just there's a lot of hoops because there's tons of NBA IP and player IP and basketball operations and licensing that we're trying to navigate. We do not hold a license. So we have to be very cognizant and careful with our relationship with them. However, they stand alongside us the whole time and they support us and they cheerlead us and they give us a shot. They really believe in local. And so for us being these local champions, getting to come alongside these national champions and that relationship coming together is a really, really special thing that, we hold very closely. So it's a big, it is also the biggest thing that we've ever done and that we will ever do. And it's the biggest t-shirt opportunity in Oklahoma. And I'm really proud of how we handle it, but it's a big invoice. It's big t-shirt numbers. It's big. There's eyes on it. You know, we can't miss. They can't miss. So it's really
this. Is the design the same each time or how does it?
No.
How does it work?
Yeah. Walk us through. If for anyone who's listening that doesn't kind of know what's happening, walk us through the genesis of it. So like how it works, why they do it, how you guys kind of got into it a little bit.
They are wickedly prepared. And what's interesting is when they think about their season, like there's regular season activities and then the postseason activities, and they plan out all of these scenarios, no matter what's going to happen. If we win, if we go to the playoffs, what's it look like? If we make it into round one or round two and there's scenario A, scenario B, scenario C.
As in apparel needs. Like, hey, Justin, if we win game one, this is what we need. If we play two home games, this is what we need or so on.
Yep. And so it starts very early. The first conversation start when's like, are we going to make the playoffs this year? And yes, we know, we think we're going to make the playoffs. So this year, for example, they asked us for they brought us in, and Andrea, our art director, and Sang, a customer care manager, and me went to the arena to meet with their creative teams, marketing department, design department. And they have a vision and a script and an idea of what the playoffs, their whole like postseason brand is going to be. And so they tell us like they're, again, the vision, the creative prompts. There's a large amount of research and intentionality that goes into their brand packaging for postseason work. And they expose us to that, tell us the storytelling and what they're trying to do. And then they turn us loose and they say, hey, you've got a week. We need 75 designs. So then we go back and I think they're, when you kind of tease out our relationship with the Thunder, we could lose it at any point, sure. But why I think that it works really well with us is because we check like an agency box for them. So they get to hijack our art department and we provide all the collateral for that. And because their art department is small, they're focusing on all the other assets for postseason. So like bus wraps and building wraps, billboards and social media and play all of that. So t-shirts, believe it or not, are hard to design and very specific. And so for them to be able to offload that onto us and have the trust that we're going to take it, build it, and then give them back something awesome, their creative directors then look at our stuff and steer that, you know, like, hey, take this one and put it together. And so that, I think that's a heavy lift for them. So that's kind of the first thing that we do. We make all the designs.
Doesn't that tie up the team though for,
yeah,
gosh, I don't know how long. I mean, 75 designs.
Yep. But we know, no, we know that it's a heavy lift and they're prepared for it. And this is our fifth time to do it. This is the furthest we've gone with it, but we now know, we've kind of seen it all. Like, we know what to expect. We know next year they're going to ask us for that again. So we can't really start pre-work on it until we understand all their creative prompting. But the coolest thing about it is it's not for some, like, it's the coolest thing that happens in our city. So even our teams that are worn out and our art department that is standing against this huge thing to climb and our customer care teams and everyone, they're just like, we are about it because it's uniting and it's something that generally everyone's fired up about.
So Justin, you have to, you know, so the team will say, we're going to use this many shirt colors. We might have up to this many home games. So you would print 20,000 shirts per home game and it needs a corporate sponsor. So that's 40,000 impressions. And we only have 3 days to turn it because we don't know if they're going to win or the series might be over. How logistically do you plan for that? Because you basically have so many opportunities to fire, but you have to turn so quickly. How are you able to produce that many shirts that quickly and like all the if win scenarios and planning your team. Talk us through like how that all worked, like the symphony of chaos there.
Sure. So when the playoffs start, so that you non-basketball fans out there, there are four rounds in the playoffs. And each round there are seven potential games. The first team to win four games advances to the next round. So if you win the first four games, you sweep and you have a break before the next round. When we have home court advantage, so depending on the seeding that goes into the finals, it dictates if you have home court advantage or not. So for us, the number one seed, the Western Conference champions, the NBA champions, the champions of the world, Oklahoma City, we had home court advantage. So what that means is when we clinched, like when we knew that we were going to the playoffs, we get greenlit. Like, hey, you can print. And hey, guess what? The playoffs are 3 weeks away. So we're like, okay, great. And a few years ago, I really kind of landed on this vision that I'll build to, but you have time. But time is kind of a lie. Cause if you're just like, oh yeah, we'll cruise through this, we'll get it done. How we do it is now we realize that like game one and game two being home games, we have the most amount of time to print. Game three and four, which would be away games, we have breaks. But if we don't know if we can print game five, which is the next home game. And then after game five, it goes away. And then game seven becomes back at home. So what happens is sometimes you get in the situation with game six, where when there's a playoff game, you play the game on a Tuesday, and then on Wednesday you have it off. And then on Thursday is the next game. So sometimes it's like game six with Denver, and it's in Denver. And if we win that, then the series is over. If Denver wins, then the whole thing's over. So game seven is the most stressful printing situation. Fastest turn that we have to get shirts to the arena so that they can get it shirted. So last year, it kind of dawned on me like, hey, let's treat every game like it's game seven. Let's only have one configuration. Let's only have one target. We shut down, we retool our shop and retool our teams for, you know, this playoff configuration printing. And so
how so?
How do you print? Like, what's the shift look like? How do you actually move that many?
Yeah, 22 people. We have six automatics that we schedule at around 500. We schedule it for 500 pieces per hour. We normally schedule for 400. We know that we can kind of hit 600, 700, 800 when things are really humming, because it's sleeves sometimes or single color, or if it's a white shirt and there's no base and there's we still use heat on all of them, but we can just run a lot faster. Sleeves run faster than the fronts. So yes, we flip all six presses. You know, we open sleeves, since sleeves print way faster than fronts. We start four presses on the fronts and then two presses that are running on the sleeves. And we try to not open up all of the boxes. We really recognize that from an efficiency standpoint, like if you can crack open a couple thousand shirts and then print the fronts.
How many pallets is that?
12.
How many pallets? So 12 pallets. So you have to store 12 pallets, but you're probably storing more than 12 pallets because you got the next game and the next game. So you have 36 pallets.
Oh, they keep them all with you.
Yep.
And they're all the size though too. Are they like, is it all XL or?
And do you have issues with like SNS to make sure you can procure that many blue shirts? Like you could, if I went on SNS right now.
But they're sending them, right?
Could I actually get 20,000 blue shirts? Like, do you wipe out the entire warehouse?
I have not been aware of our economical impact or of our cotton impact to our distributors, but we used like this last year, we used Sanmar and we used Port & Co. And thankfully the colors we're using, it was PC54. It was royal white and occasionally black, colors that they have deep, deep stock in. This year we used Gildan, G500s. Or G5000s, depending on who you order from. And we use primarily royal and white and primarily extra larges. So like probably 18,000 extra larges. And then the rest are, you know.
How does the cash flow work?
Yeah, how do you make? Yeah, this is scary. Let's talk about the money behind. I mean, obviously the invoices probably are huge, but you have to figure out a way to bankroll this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where cannabis comes in. You know, we are sitting on just piles and piles of cash, you know, like it's, that's the easiest. I'm kidding. No, I have huge credit limits with, SS Activewear, and they're thankful. And they know SS Activewear knows exactly what's going on. Sanmar knows exactly what's going on. We communicate with our reps. We have large credit limits, but also we tell the Thunder, you know, normally we're on net something with the Thunder, and this time it's like, hey guys, they got it. They're counting on us just as much as we're counting on them. So they typically pay their bill in 1 or 2 days. You know, they know that like we are little and we can't play in these big water. We can't swim in these big waters for very long. So it's definitely, they pay their bills fast, and we pay our bills fast, and money flares up. It's the largest our accounts receivable has ever been. Super cool. But it's also the biggest bills we've ever had. And we're paying, you know, I activated overnight shifts. We started a second shift to, because the real problem is like Thunder, the playoff printing is not, I mean, it's hard, but it's not impossible. And once you kind of wrap your head around it, I wish it was all that we did, because it's truthfully printing, you know, flipping your whole shop to only print one job. It takes us 2 days. So we start, you know, we start the fronts, and then we're trying to wrap the fronts and then land the sleeves so they can go back into boxes onto a pallet, black wrapped, and then to the freight docks.
2 days of two shifts each day?
No, sorry. 2 days. So printing like every, treating every game like it's game seven means that our print shop, 22 people, a loader and unloader, and then two people at the end of each dryer, a few expediters, and some like, you know, post-production people. That is our configuration. And they start in the morning at 6 or 7, and then they end at 4 or 5. And then they turn around and do that the next day. And we shut down our whole like regular production for that printing. We want all of our, you know, most proficient technical printers and staff on that job. And then at night, that's where our second shift, their responsibility was to run, you know, keep the custom shop alive for all the other jobs. Cause it also happens to be one of the busiest times of the year for our print shop. And we don't want to outsource work. We don't want to send it away. We want to make sure that it's, you know, our quality and in our hands. And so it was hard, but we got it the most right this year.
So let's talk about errors. Like how, so I was working with my team yesterday. We have to go to conventions for fraternities. These big conventions, we have to send pallets to them, and we have to set up essentially like we're national account vendors, whatever. We set up like an experience there. And I was talking to my team about what could go wrong and actually setting up anti-goals. Like what would be our worst nightmare? Sending the wrong pallet to the wrong convention, opening up the box. Did you guys have, I want to understand like what does your war room look like? And who do you have in that war room? And how are you thinking about like what could go wrong? And how to avoid that, and who stays out of the way, who's at the helm of all of this. Talk to us about that, like the leadership in place to make this all pop.
I'm the biggest cheerleader for the job, which is really cool. You know, last year I ran the, we called it Justin's Sketchy Print Shop. And that was the second shift, you know, and I was like, hey, me and my chill boys and a few others, like we'll run the print shop at night and keep the custom shop alive. And realized really quickly that the reliability of me and my schedule was not conducive with that. And so I want to say like the leadership involved to make it happen, it was on the backs of my primary leaders here at Oklahoma Shirt Company. I'm not driving that bus. I am cheerleading. I'm helping to, you know, keep things on the rails or be the guy that has to make a tough call if we need to. But for the most part, my team is dialed and knows what's going on. And our production manager, operations manager, and saying our customer care manager and Tess, my right hand, they're really keeping things on rails. And it's not surprising. It's just kind of the same thing over and over again. Get these shirts done.
Justin, when did they have to tell you stay out of the way, or were you self-aware enough to know that like if my finger's in the cookie jar here, it will get messed up? Like, I don't know, Bruce, you also dealt with this when the engineers were like, Bruce, stop touching code, even though you're the owner of the company. What is that complex like for you? Can you do that pretty easily?
Yeah, because I trust them. Like, and I'm also like, I am running, like my full-time job is not screen printing. My full-time job is I'm holding together a cannabis vertical right now. And my part-time job. Chaos. Yeah. And my part-time job is keeping a screen print company on the rails. So they really were staffed and efficient and knew what they needed. And I wouldn't be adding value or showing. If I saw blind spots or things that they weren't seeing, sure, I would chirp in and add that. But they are really dialed. And we have very intentional pre-production playoff planning meetings. And I just get to be a part of it, you know, and they've got it. The most chaotic thing that happened was, truthfully, what I never was prepared for. And Steven, you and I talked a little bit about this, but was the retail opportunity, you know, and just from, that was something that we had never known was like, we sell, you know, spirit, I'll call it spirit gear because we're not licensed. So like all of our stuff is like Thunder City or God of Thunder, or like it's stuff that's adjacent to the Thunder, but it doesn't have their IP and it doesn't have player IP or NBA IP. So there are these like, you know, spirit gear shirts that we make. And that's where Oklahoma City showed out for, especially after the second round, when we got into the Western Conference Finals and we won that. And then we went to the finals, our retail traffic has never seen what we saw.
Oh, that's right. Cause so you set up the showroom of your shop as a retail like experience, and that you have all the shirts and designs and stuff there. But these are yours that you guys sell directly. And how did you get people to come in though?
Yeah. Like, how'd you open up the retail?
How did they hear about it?
I think that people, there are like three or four boutique retail t-shirt companies here in Oklahoma City, and we're one of them, and we're known for that, but just not like, is everybody wanting Thunder t-shirts all at the same time? And then also realizing that like you can go to Academy or Dick's and get the official gear that's kind of, that's proper, but it's a little vanilla ice cream, but they don't have the moments. And so it's the moments where we're capitalizing on like our best-selling shirt this year. It says Not Like Us on it. And it was just this moment where, hey, Oklahoma City recognizes who they are. There's this pop culture reference that everyone's aware of and people want to, you know, support. And so when you put those together, it's those moments. We have a postseason shirt for some of our players of like, you know, guess what? These quotes that players play or these things that people cap onto, and then we make them.
Smart. Steven, you're good at that. Doing that, you do a lot of that with
we
the moments. Like,
campus, it'll say in our thing is like, we make merch for moments. And if you, we like to say like, you book the theater, write the play. There were a lot of opportunities. Our biggest pops was when we opened up a pop-up store at Purdue and we had lines out the door for days, right? Doing it. It's exhausting. What about bootleg merch? So I deal with this a lot because we are above board. Everything we do is licensed, and it annoys the shit out of me when I see bootleg, like straight bootleg. And there's a lot of printers and some listening to this that print bootleg. With your relationship with the Thunder and how that worked, you probably had the opportunity to do stuff and you made the choice not to. What do you have to say to the printers that do it? How does that affect the market, the industry? Like, you can riff for a minute because you got the mic.
So before this, I felt one way. After this, I feel a different way. Before, like post, you know, kind of the opportunity.
Tingle in your stomach? Like, no, yeah. Okay.
I used to get real upset when people would steal our stuff because I employ professional artists that have degrees that are insanely talented. And I hold art very near and dear to my heart. So when we produce something, and when someone customers, you know, would say, hey, make this, we would be like, hey, we'll make something. We'll be inspired by that, but we're not going to rip that. And we try to teach like our customers, like, hey, that's the easy button. We're not doing that. I think that ChatGPT has changed me a little bit. You know, I use it for art. Our art team uses it for art in ways as a tool that are really, benefiting us. I love what, I don't know if I fully agree with this, so don't crucify me on the statement, but I heard someone say this the other day. She said, we should be using ChatGPT for business and for work and all of those things so that art can be free again. And art can be something that people are making as a creative expression, and it not being such a, like, when you drag art out of a human, or if you're just pounding out production designs, it becomes soulless, and it just can become over time like just degrading in the act of a human creating something beautiful. So if we can leverage computers and we can leverage that technology to make our jobs easier, and then we can still find channels to create art for art's sake or the purity that goes into it, that's a sweet thing. Again, that's general. That's not my full feelings on it. It's not okay to steal people's art. It's not okay to rip off things with ChatGPT and claim it as your own. Like, there's clever ways you can use it. So we've had more bootlegs of stuff that we made than I've ever seen. And it all happened as soon as Oklahoma gets on the national, all eyes turns towards Oklahoma. There's people ripping our stuff off and people are DMing me left or right. Like, can you see it? Can you believe this? They took this. And at some point you just chuckle. Like, it's awesome. Like, clearly we've tapped into something or made a design that's so good that it's got dozens of people stealing it. At that point, I do feel like flattery, imitation is the highest form of flattery. That's when that kind of comes into play. When it's a local print shop or a local brand that steals something that we did on a one-off, those kind of make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. But I'll take it as flattering. I also, one of the things that I got a little butthurt about was, because of the sensitivity that we and the relationship we have with the Thunder, our focus and our primary endeavor is our relationship with them and the shirts that we do in the arena and keeping our relationship alive with them. So I don't press very hard. We have great relationships with them. And so if we have a new design or something that we make, we show it to them. And if it looks like it's going to be okay, then we go ahead and print that. But we've learned really quickly, like, what not to do. And when we became the champions, everybody in Oklahoma City that had the capability of making shirts started making championship shirts. And we learned, like, they were putting rings on it and they're putting the Larry O'Brien trophy on it and they're putting Thunder IP and player IP. And we know that, like, there's some people that made a whole lot of money in Oklahoma City based on those shirts. And I love that for them. Like, thank you, Oklahoma City, for supporting small business and for, those spirit gear. But I think that maybe eventually they will get a cease and desist, or maybe eventually that will come back to them, or hopefully maybe it won't. And everyone can just be like, you know what? This was a really special moment. It was a 30-day window. We're just kind of let things be what they were. And so I'm proud of other small businesses seeing the opportunity, doing what they can. And there were a lot of people who sold a lot of things in Oklahoma City and are still selling a lot of things in Oklahoma City that they shouldn't be selling. But you know what? Like, go eat. Like, this is, people want this stuff. And the shirts that are being produced the official shirts are either not accessible or they're not acceptable. And people want those cultural, rich, like, spirit gear things. And I say, I cannot endorse it. But I can say, like, I don't blame you for trying, and go try.
What do you do about that, Steven? I mean, I know it's like you get emotionally frustrated, but,
my team will, like, send it to me. We work with licensing directors at all of our schools, and we're part of a licensing director association. I'm actually on a forum, and you get daily emails from all of the licensing directors at all of these schools, trying to do the best at their job, which means protecting the IP of their institutions, enforcing it. And it is their sole job to do. And so, like, I see the struggle that they're going through, because there's also really bad stuff out there that dilutes the brand, right? Like, I don't like when my team prints Campus Ink in the wrong ink color on a shirt. I'm like, no. It never should look like this. It should only look this way. And so, like, I'm very protective of that. And I get pretty wound up about it. And I think, like, we pay almost, my last licensing bill was over $300,000 in a quarter, right?
Sheesh.
But they are our champions, and they're working for us, and they're helping us, and they're throwing us opportunities. And so, like, to go against them would be against what we believe in. And it's like, we're just going to be above board, and work on it. So, I don't know. It's definitely sensitive, but you don't want to slash the hand that feeds you a little bit. So, Justin, I want to ask about these chaotic times. I was reading something about engaged employees versus inspired employees, And something that I can feel from the outside while looking in is that your employees are inspired, but they also work really, really hard. How do you continue to inspire them to want to work late nights and early mornings and come in and put out more than is on their, you know, is on their pay stub and those things? Because I don't think it's like a dollar amount or how many lunches you can bring in. How do you inspire your team at Oklahoma Shirt Company?
A lot of that is pre-work, you know, investing in the culture, making sure that you have the right leadership in place and the values, and you're reinforcing that and telling people that. And, you know, one of the first things is we don't have any turds or shitheads here. You know, our employees are family, and we're very selective and self-selective when we get a new employee in here. If it's not working out, they are out of here pretty quick. My leadership team is very bought in. And then also, a big fat asterisk is it's the thunder. So again, if we were making t-shirts, we made a million for Michelob Ultra, but we made Michelob Ultra t-shirts that were for the thunder. Like, and that when like, that's what, like, if it was just this, it sucks, but it's also this. And like that, when people print that, our team is like, they're Thunder fans, and they may not be Thunder fans, but they recognize the opportunity and how special it is. And so there's a lot of built-in buy-in, and they also know that it's an incredible opportunity. And our production people, they're getting, you know, in the winter, it's slow. And there are some weeks that they only get 25, 30, 35 hours. And then there are other, and so now is also their time to eat. So they want to work, and they're getting overtime. They're getting taken care of. We do hospitality pieces. Like when we go into these hard printing configurations, we got a drink fridge that we keep stocked with everyone's favorite drinks. And we put fresh snacks out every morning so that everyone's just like, this is really hard, but we're going to get through it together. And it's you invest in that. So like, thankfully we're not printing t-shirts for, you know, a cigarette manufacturer. We're making t-shirts for our home team. And that there's a lot of built-in goodness in that.
So some shops that we bring on to talk about their dream customer, and it's an honor to be able to do that work, but maybe doesn't financially pan out, but it's cool. Like emotionally, it's really cool. You don't have to go into details, but like, is it profitable for you guys to be doing that? What, like with the extra overtime, with the tons of art, with the, you know, the kind of emotional pull from everyone. I mean, is it a profitable exercise?
When we bid it the first big run, I made the statement that like, I don't care if we break even. It's the most qualifying, incredible marketing opportunity that we have. You know, when people ask us, they're like, are you guys the ones that print the shirts in the arena? Like, yes, we are. We are. That is, we get to do that. I've since learned, and I've gotten more bold as a business owner. And I had, you know, in 2020, I had to lay off like 30% of my friends, and that I learned lessons there and realized that like, it's about not just fun and opportunity, but sustainability. And so I got bold with the thunder. You know, this year we raised our prices. Last year, what we printed the shirts for was the same price that we did the year before that. And the year before that, it was a little higher than that. But this year we were like, hey guys, we've done a pricing study, and we're giving you a very honest bid. And we took the spirit of transparency. Like, we're about to do a whole lot of things. We're trying to make a reasonable, this is our yearly, like our EOS, like we're trying to hit a 12.5% net profit across our entire organization. And that means that to hit that, we have to support this. And so we told the Thunder that like, this is our pricing, and next year there's going to be a 5% price increase. And we're going to wrap, because if you need it to be here and you need it to hit, then I have to have all of the staff and I have to have all this infrastructure to make it work. And they were like, we love it. Like, we are about it. We support it. And so, yes, it is in alignment with our profit goals. It is sustainable. Everybody here got a bonus, you know, at the end of it, because it was just a function of, hey, this was our big number, and then here's how we break it down to everybody. And so it sustainability is the key, and that's what we want to do. Like we want to run this marathon, but we have to have the nutrition to properly do it. And we want to do it 13 times. We don't want to just do it once or twice or six times. Like,
so a mistake that business owners will make, and I've made this mistake, is we get googly-eyed over what we're going to be printing, and we'll give it away. Like, it doesn't matter. And that can actually be really dangerous in a small business, is because of the hype of what we're doing, we'll do it for, you know, whatever. That's a shift that, Justin, you went through of, I'm just excited versus I actually need to stay in business, right? And you actually like took the transparency route and told your customers, like, this is my price, this is the value that I'm going to build. And it's like, if you're not thinking about profit every second of it, that's a really scary thing. How do you, I talk to a lot of shops that they'll have these influxes of cash, right? And then 2 months later, they are taking loans out. How do you run a business through the peaks and the valleys? And how do you think about your business today, knowing that you've obviously just crushed this, but that's not going to come for another, you know, we hope the Thunder are going to make the playoffs every single year. But how do you deal with that? Like, how do you run a sound business, understanding the peaks and valleys, and you don't just go buy a bunch of new equipment and shit, or a plane?
Definitely.
Or a boat.
That North Star, shut up. Sold that boat, by the way. She's gone.
Oh, you sold it.
She's gone.
Hey, that makes two of you guys.
Actually, you know what? I sold my boat this week too.
Yeah, the best day of your life is the day you get that boat. The second best day of your life is when you sell that boat. Maybe opposite, actually.
I think mine's worth 10% of yours, but that's okay.
Stop. The bank owned most of my boat. Let's just be clear about that. I will say our North Star. So having a true North Star, like, and it's so powerful. It's silly that, like, yeah, we make t-shirts and I love art and we're really passionate and we got great people. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're selling discs or tattoos or t-shirts or cannabis or what, or bootleg shirts. At the end of the day, you're trying to make net profit. And for us, having that North Star of our big, big, big goal is we're trying to hit north of 10% on a true net profit, that drives everything. And so so that's how we stay in alignment. Like,
so everybody knows that about the profit and can track it, essentially.
Well, we know that, like, we print the Thunder stuff, and yes, we have this big influx of cash, which actually is a windfall for us. I've never had this before, and I'm scared. You know, the past 2 years, we're in the healthiest financial position that we've ever been. That doesn't mean we're rich. What that means is like I have put my head down with my team, and we are keeping track of things in ways that we never were before, because I want to have confidence going into the winter that everything's going to stay alive and I'm not going to lose everything, because I'm focused on sustainability. I want to do this again. I want my people to have confidence that in their jobs. I want our customers to have confidence each year that we can keep doing what we're doing. And so it just comes down to that alignment and not spending money. I'm not buying equipment. You know, I'm not expanding. I'm not growing. It's just kind of, we know who we are. We know what we're supposed to do. Let's do that over and over again.
Do you hide that money or put it somewhere away when you get an influx of cash? What do you do? Do you take a small amount to splurge with it?
Not yet.
Yeah. What do you do when you have money?
Well, young Justin would have got a boat or would have done something stupid or done, like, I'm recognizing that we want to be thunderproof, like postseason thunderproof. And that means that, like, I don't want my profitability or the success of my business to be anchored to how well a silly basketball team does, because that's not sustainable. So how do we make it so that this is a great opportunity and that helps us? Yeah, so we're healthier than we were last year. We can be even more healthier. And I think that this year is really that living into, we course corrected a lot two and a half years ago. And so last year was a recovery year. This year is kind of the, let's build a great foundation and let's have strong roots or a strong foundation that we can really continue to support what it is that we're doing. And so I'm also learning, you do have to take some money along the way. Like if you are just stacking cash and you never say like, I should be taking five, like the profit first way, you know, every time you get paid, like put 5% of it here, put 7% of it here. And I'm not doing that, but I am, all of our bills are paid and our bank accounts are looking great and I don't see crazy expenditures happening. And so I do think that like this hopefully will be the, personally, I'm looking forward to just the pleasantries of this winter in January and February because I've prepared, not because we're lucky, because we're prepared and handling business in a way that we haven't before.
Ignoring the thunder, how do you see the market right now, like demand for you guys? Like sales wise, how would you, because we just had Justin Moore from Barrelmaker on and he was saying things. His interesting note was that orders under 50 pieces or so, he's felt a real big softness, which he thinks maybe is a lot more folks, you know, with heat presses just able to knock those out at home. And he said that live printing for him is what's been the big growth, but custom work has been okay and very slow start to this year. Have you seen something similar or different or what?
Yeah, I agree. Again, it's kind of, our numbers are false right now because of what just happened, but, and it's all, today is July 10th, 7:10. And you know, there's this weird lull that happens mid July that of, you know, you're busy in June and then the 4th happens and nobody orders stuff. And then like this week, kind of a recovery week. And I expect things to bounce back a little bit more next week, but sales are somewhat comparable to what they were last year, which was not super great. I think that I agree with Justin that healthy businesses are continuing to invest in marketing and promotional items and t-shirts and things. But if the smaller businesses or restaurants or bars, some schools, universities, I feel like that's slowed down. Churches are still spending money. Like all of the VBS and church camp stuff is still coming through, but there is a change. And I do think that that continues. Like here we are still navigating this weird financial landscape post COVID. And there's nothing between our presidents, between imminent war, between tariffs, between whatever, like it's just not a lot of confidence in it, but a lot of noise.
How do you, so something, I got called out from my team really hard about a month ago. They hit a goal and they hit it on the last day of the month and it went bonkers. And then Monday rolled around and I congratulated them and I said, you know, after a really good month, sometimes we have a slow month and how do we avoid it? And they said like, gosh, Steven, like you're already a downer. Like I celebrate for a moment and then I'm done celebrating. I'm like, okay, flip the page. Let's do it again. And they called me out so hard on it. Like disgruntled, you know, how do you turn the page for your team and say, okay, guys, back to vacation Bible school and making sure we do this every day with them not being like, God, does he just not let up? How do you do that with them? Do they have the self-awareness to know? Is it a maturity thing?
That's a good question. It probably, I think your team is getting that one wrong a little bit. That's just a small vision, like celebrate the moment. But also I think for us, like Thunder thing, that's built in. Like everyone, like I said, everyone's worn out. So we were thankful to be done. We were thankful to be past it. Everyone's excited about the new, like we're not here. We're just, okay, we're back to regular scheduled programming. It was, again, I just have to point, it's not anything I'm doing now. It's things that we've done in the past. Like our culture and our team buy-in is so rich that it just felt, we all know we have to do this. And like, you can bitch or you can complain, but the truth is like, we got a whole bunch of hay to cut down and then we got a whole bunch of hay we got to put up and then we just got to do it. And
I think I think that's an owner and team member thing. I feel like owners tend to not celebrate, if at all. Like maybe there's a little bit, but it's like you're always thinking about next week or next month or whatever. Payroll. You're never really like in present.
Every two weeks. Doesn't matter. Still got to pay this amount next Friday.
But the team doesn't have that perspective, which you can't really blame them necessarily for, because they're not, you know, maybe they're thinking about it, but they're way more, maybe the right word is in the moment. I'm not exactly sure, but definitely as owners, you're always, it's what's next.
Hey, before, but I've never before been we called go
out for it though.
I got to hijack this real quick. PMI tape, you guys, like, we like Andrew. This is great. Yeah,
here so we go.
PMI tape, in the middle there. Are they from Indiana or do they live, or are they just Pacers fans? Is PMI in Indiana?
Okay. No, well, to their facility.
The I in PMI probably starts, is it's Pacers M Indiana. I think that's PMI.
Probably. Well, Andrew sent me a care package. And with PMI tape, you know, you've seen this, but they can do custom printing. So like I saw it best, Made Lab has custom tape where it says made on it all the way. But what he sent me was one that said the Pacers, they had Tyrese Halliburton like choking like Reggie Miller did, the throwback, and then their logo. And he sent me some of them. And it's one of my favorite like pieces of the run. And he just said, he wrote me a letter and he's like, hey, here's at least some decent tape so your team can perform well while they're printing this Thunder trash. And it was, I loved it. Like it's just fun, like being in it, because man, we're getting to play against them. And the Pacers were such a cool team to play against and stressful, because they were like a young Oklahoma City, like happy to be here. We're about it. Small market basketball. And so I appreciated that. So I wanted to shout out PMI because that was really special. And I got a good chuckle. He actually sent me this custom tape and DM'd me. And he's like, hey, did you get a care package? I was like, no, I didn't see it, because my team, knuckleheads, got a box of tape and they were just like, all right, put it in. And like, they started using it and didn't know anything about it. And then like, wait, Andrew was like, before, it was like 2 days before game set or five or game six, cause they were at home. And he's like, I'm overnighting you something really special. Can you make sure that you get it? And I was like, yes, I promise I'll get it. And I got it and just chuckled hard. It was funny. Funny.
It's funny because Andrew and his dad are pretty straight laced, like, you know, and the fact that he trolled you with that and wrote that letter, epic. I'm just reading it, epic. Like, hilarious.
So good. So good.
Justin, thank you for always being able to be so transparent. I think you're a guest that people will email us and DM us after and just be like, love hearing the stories, because Justin shares so much, probably the most out of anyone that we have on. So just want to say thank you.
You mean like MVP? You mean like the Prince Avo national champions?
Number one, Justin Lawrence, AKA J-Law. If you have questions for him,
you can meet him live in the flesh at Print Hustlers whenever that. You can meet him in the flesh.
Yeah. Go to Made Labs. You can grab your tickets. Print Hustlers, we'll see you guys there. Justin Lawrence, Oklahoma Shirt Company, and the team. Thank you guys so much for being able to share. And Print Hustlers, we appreciate you joining us for another episode of the show. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.